Slice Your Age, episode 41.
Welcome to Slice Your Age, the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. Now, here's your host and personal coach, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, this is Dave, and welcome back to Slice Your Age. As you know, this is the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. It is so great to be back, and as I always say, I appreciate every single one of you that's tuning in, checking this thing out, and this is going to be a fantastic show. Today, we're going to be speaking a lot on weight loss, and as many of you know, oftentimes during the show, at the very beginning, I take a listener's question, but today, we're not going to take a listener's question yet because I think we don't have to. We got so many cool things on the show today. We're going to save all of our listeners' questions for next episode. Actually, we're going to probably go ahead and maybe have a whole show just built around your question. So if you have a question, give us a call. One of the best ways to do it is to call our recorded hotline, Slice Your Age Hotline, which is 410-429-7190. There's several other ways, and I'm going to tell you about those in a couple seconds, but I'm really glad to announce right now that my co-host and my wife, Yoko, is finally back in the studio after several weeks. She went to Japan for a couple weeks, and she came back, and she was jet-lagged and this and that, and I'm finally got her back here. So, Yoko, how's it going?
Hi.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I hear everybody clapping in the background. Everybody's so good.
I was going to say yay, but.
Yoko, how was your trip? Was it good?
Wonderful. It's always fantastic to see my family and my friends in Japan.
Okay, now I'm assuming since this is Slice Your Age, you stayed healthy, you ate well. Did you lose weight? Did you gain weight? Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, my weight in Japan?
In Japan. Did you lose any weight? Did you gain weight? A lot of times people gain weight on trips.
No,
you
know, I didn't gain weight at all.
Uh-huh.
Zero. But since we became vegan, like, I lost weight.
It's easy to keep it off, right? Mm-hmm. Eat healthy, keep it off, and you don't even have to count, really don't have to count too many calories or anything. You just stay pretty healthy. Hey, yep. Listen, Yoko, I wanted to tell you also, we've got a great guest today on the show. Mm-hmm. His name is David Jackson. It's kind of an honor to have this guy because he is a pretty popular guy in the podcasting world. He has his several podcasts where he teaches other people how to start and run a podcast. He's one of the people that I learned from 9 months ago when I was starting this podcast, and he's a really cool guy. Now, one of the things I learned a little bit after that was that not only does he have several podcasts on helping others how to podcast, but he also has a podcast on weight loss. So I started listening to that, and David Jackson is he's a great guy, but he's also kind of a regular guy who has his ups and downs with weight loss, like so many people do. And we're going to bring him in a few minutes and talk to him about some of what's been going on in his life about weight loss, what he does to battle it, some tricks of the trade, so mm-hmm. to speak, and some things like that. It's going to be great. Before we bring him in, anything else about Japan or health or any kind of quick little tip or what anything? Or are we good to go? What do you think? Anything you can think of?
Well, I think the food in Japan is fantastic.
Always.
Yeah, it's, I think, definitely healthy.
That's why it's very rare to see an overweight Japanese person. When you were in Japan, were there many people that were like overweight?
No.
Other than the sumo wrestlers?
Everybody was very skinny, actually. And they say, like, oh, I have fat, I have fat. But, like, from my view of the point, they are skinny. And because we eat a lot of many kinds of vegetable anyway. That's our, like, lifestyle. Of course, we eat rice, too. But it's not... Yeah, I've never seen, like, the big chunk of... meat or
something. They just have to be careful because, you know, a lot of the Western-style restaurants and fast food restaurants are coming into Japan right. and other parts of Asia. You know, the McDonald's is popular there now. They've got a lot of KFC.
They have totally different menu. They have maybe Big Mac, too.
But, and the portions are very small.
Right. Even like I was struggling because at the restaurant or somewhere, the old glass of water, mm-hmm. the glass is very, very tiny like this. So I need, like, and I get thirsty, right? So that I need it, like, I need more, like, because in America, the one glass is
huge,
very big.
Can be huge, yeah. So in Japan, just ask them to bring you a pitcher. Just drink out of the pitcher. The pitcher will probably be about the size of our glass, maybe. I know one time I was in a McDonald's there years ago, and I remember seeing somebody. Now, I would not order a soda. In fact, I really, the only time I ever go to a McDonald's, as my listeners know, is to either use Wi-Fi or go to the restroom. I will not eat anything at McDonald's. But I was curious.
But McDonald's, they have like green tea in
general. Yeah, I was curious to see what the McDonald's looked like on the inside of it. So I went in there, and I noticed, though, that when people were ordering their soda, I don't know if it was Coke, whatever the soda was over there. I noticed that the small size was like, I'm putting my fingers up now, listeners, you can't see this, but it's like the size of like a thimble. The thing is so tiny. Yeah,
maybe
that's the small.
Smaller than kid's size here.
Exactly. It was tiny. Japanese people are thin. So even when they go to, as they say in, correct my Japanese, it was bad, but McDonald's. That's what they call McDonald's there. But even maybe you stay thin there. But anyway, Yoko, before we bring David Jackson in from the Logical Weight Loss Podcast, real quickly, if my listeners would like to reach me, some of you are brand new, and thanks for listening to us today. If you're a first-time listener, we got a lot of ways, and even if you're not a first-time listener, a lot of ways to stay in touch with us. Our main website is simply sliceyourage.com. So you go there, you can listen to all the shows from the website, although it's preferable to listen to them through iTunes. Get a subscribe and make sure they get downloaded on your device. That's the easiest way to listen to the shows. But they're all on sliceyourage.com, plus a lot more. Of course, our Facebook page, which is simply Slice Your Age on Facebook. It's facebook.com/sliceyourage. We're all hanging out there. We post many times per day, all kind of cool things, recipes, tips, health tips. It's a great place to kind of hang out with us. Twitter, I am David Maddow on Twitter. That's at David Maddow, DAVIDMADOW. We got a YouTube channel now. Every once in a while, I get in my car, I throw the GoPro up there and record a little short video, less than 5 minutes. Just a little tip that I love throwing out there to you. The channel is called Slice Your Age. Of course, you can email me at sliceyourage@gmail.com. And finally, and last but not least, of course, our newest way to get in touch with us, it's the coolest, and we really appreciate if you do this, call the Slice Your Age hotline, the Slice Your Age 7190 hotline. And when you do that, I'll give you the phone number in 1 second. When you do that, it's just a recorded line. You can ask a question. You can give a little tip if you want. You can tell us how Slice Your Age is working for you. Anything you want to say, and we'll try to get it on the air, especially if it's a question or like a great review or something. We'd love to have our callers. That's how we oftentimes start our show off now, with a question from the Slice Your Age 7190 hotline. That number, 410-429-7190. Wow. Having said all that and thanking my listeners for being with us today, let's go ahead and bring in David Jackson from the Logical Weight Loss Podcast. Okay, so it is an honor to have my friend David Jackson on the show with me today. So welcome, Dave. How you doing?
Oh, Dave, thanks for having me. I'm doing great. I'm ready to have some fun.
It's great to have you here. And before we get into the actual health topic that we're going to be getting into in just a few seconds, I just wanted to make sure my listeners know that you are this guy that actually has a podcast to teach other people how to do podcasts. And not only one, I think you've got like at least three of these, right?
Yeah, I mean, my flagship is schoolofpodcasting.com, but I also do a live call-in show called Ask the Podcast Coach, and another one where I review podcasts called The Podcast Review Show.
Well, I met you because when I started my podcast about 9 months ago or so, I was looking for these podcasts on podcasting, and you're one of the ones I found. And by the way, thanks. You helped me an incredible amount, more than you would ever know. But along the way, I heard you talking about your, I think it's called Logical Weight Loss Show?
Yeah, the Logical Weight Loss Podcast.
Logical Weight Loss Podcast. And I started kind of getting interested in that because, as you know, I'm a health guy. I've been teaching people, even before I started my podcast, I've been teaching people just how to live a healthier lifestyle for many, many years. And when I heard that, God, the guy that's taught me kind of how to do a podcast also has a health show. Why did you start a show on weight loss?
I had, I'm on marriage number two. And after marriage number one, I kind of said, well, I'm going to take some of this anger and frustration I have, and I'm going to get myself in shape, and I'll show her, doggone it, you know, the best revenge is living well. And so I dropped about 20 pounds. And so that was great. Fast forward 20 years, you know, or a couple years later, and all that weight I had lost had somehow found me. And I went, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get back on the horse, and I'm going to do a I'm going to lose this weight again. I said, oh, I know, because I'm just a podcast junkie. I'll make a cool journey podcast. I'll do this for about a year, and I'll just, you know, tell people what I'm doing, and here's what's working, and here's what's not doing. And that was the idea, was this was going to be a journey of how I lost the weight again. That was 3 years ago. And so what was supposed to be a year of me losing 20 pounds has been 3 years of me losing 10, finding 5, finding another 5. Okay, losing 15, just up and down, up and down, up and down.
Okay, so we're going to get back to that in a second, but I want to focus in for just a few minutes on your previous marriage. You said you were overweight during your first marriage. Were you overweight before that? Like, were you one of these heavy guys in high school and after high school, or was it only when you got married you started gaining weight?
It was mainly once I got married. I was kind of pudgy in junior high school, and that got fixed by a giant growth spurt. But yeah, like everybody else, you know, you're lean and trimmed in your college years. I got married, and next thing I know, I'm like, wow, where'd all this come from? And so, my first marriage, my ex-wife, turned into an alcoholic, and to say the last 3 years were a little stressful is an understatement. So I was just self-medicating with, you know, burgers and fries, basically. So that's where a lot of the weight came from.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because I've told my listeners on many, many episodes that it's not really only eating well, eating the right foods, exercising, but you've got to be living a life that you're happy with. In other words, if you're in a relationship that's not good, if you're in a job that you hate, first of all, of course, I'm not a big proponent of divorce, although I'm in my second marriage as well, but we won't go there right now. I've talked to my listeners about that before, but you know, I really believe that if you're in something, whether it's a job or a marriage or anything, that you're not really, really happy with, you have to, number one, try to make it better. And if you cannot make it better, you've got to get out of it. Because if you don't do these things, it's going to totally ruin your life. And it sounds like that first marriage was the fact that she was an alcoholic. That really, it seems to me, if you didn't get out of that, it would have sent you down a horrible, horrible path.
Yeah, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I was trying to be patient and be the good husband. I will just leave it to say, I have biblically sound reasons as to why I left that marriage. So,
well,
I mean, she cheated basically. So that's when I went, all right, I've had enough of this. So, but yeah, it was stressful, you know, you can't argue with an alcoholic, you know, all I heard was, you're not my dad. You know, so I would just patiently wait. And we went to counseling, and when the counseling turned to, hey, you need to quit drinking, and she said, okay, I'm done with counseling, I was like, all right, well, this is going to end badly. So you do what you can, and however that old saying goes, what doesn't kill you just makes you stronger, or in some cases frustrates the bejesus out of you. You do what you can, you learn from your mistakes, and you move on.
Well, thank God I've never really had to deal with an alcoholic in my life. I mean, my parents were never alcoholics. Nobody in my family has ever been, at least that I know of. And my ex-wife was not, although I had another set of issues there, which I tried to fix, really couldn't fix those. So I really took the path of leaving that marriage as well. So I totally, totally get that, even though I'm not really... And luckily not experienced with the alcoholism, but I know it's a disease. It must be horrible. So you got out of the first marriage, and sounds like pretty quickly you were able to drop 20 pounds.
Yeah, I because there was all this time that I'd spent trying to work on our marriage and everything else, I now had free time. And so I would go to the gym in the morning and do probably 30 minutes of cardio, lift a little weights, go to work. On the way home, drove by the gym. So, hey, let's throw another 30 minutes on and do some more cardio. And, you know, I was just, the weight just fell off me. And it took a while, you know, probably 6 weeks or so. But, you know, I was dropping a pound or two a week. It was awesome. So by the end of 2 months or so, I was, you know, I lost 20 pounds. And I was like, everybody's like, wow, I can see it in your face. And that's always great when you really start having people going, are you losing weight? And so when I started the podcast, I thought, well, I'm just going to do it again. Well, the problem was it had been, I don't know, probably at least 7 years since I had lost it originally, somewhere between 7 and 10. And there's a difference between, you know, 30 and 40 body wise. You know, you don't have the muscle mass that you have, so you're not burning as many calories and other things that I probably am unaware of. But all I know is I was doing kind of the same thing, and it just was it was coming off. It just wasn't as easy the first time. You know, weight loss isn't easy. It's simple. Eat less, exercise more, but it's not easy. And the first time was about as close to easy as you could get. Now, of course, I was going to the gym twice a day, but I was trying the same tactics and just not seeing the same results. And that's when I went, uh-oh, well, this is a new little twist. Because I really thought I'd do the podcast for a year, drop the weight, and be off. And I'm not morbidly obese. We're talking about 20-30 pounds, so I'm not like I need to lose 150 or something like that, but nonetheless, I've had doctors say, you know, you could probably drop a few. So I went to, you know, hey, I'll I bought a pedometer and let's get my 10,000 steps in. I'll try to eat better and let's eat salads and this and that. And it's like I said, weight loss is not easy, but it is simple. And even to this day, when I eat right and exercise, shocking, you know, I lose weight. When I don't and think, well, I'll just have this one, you know, I'm going to take a little side step here, but it won't be that bad. Next thing you know, you step on the scale and the 2 pounds that it took a week to lose, it appears that you had one bad day and it's now back to, you know, you're 215 on Monday. You did all good all week. And guess what? Now you're back to 217. And that's where you just kind of go, oh, you know, I know it was dollar dog night at the ballpark last night. I only had two, but I mean, that's a real life example. Yesterday, I knew I was going to the ballpark, so I had, you know, fruits, veggies. I was really trying to keep my calorie counter low because I knew I was going to go. Hey, it's a holiday. That's another fun one. Oh, it's just a holiday. You got to live on the holiday. And sure enough, I stepped on the scale today. I think I ended up eating 3 hot dogs. Over a span of 6 hours. And I actually put it into my phone. I'm like, okay, I'm at 1,800 calories. That's pretty much my goal. If I can go 18 or 1,700, usually that'll either maintain or go down a little. And I stepped on the scale and I was up 2 pounds. And I'm like, well, let's see. You ate 3 hot dogs that were pretty much 90% salt. I mean, I remember, I haven't eaten a hot dog in years. And I just remember thinking, wow, I do not remember these being that salty. So even though technically the calories were about where they needed to be, I have found, if I do that anyway, if I know, hey, I'm going to the movies or I'm going to meet a friend, they want to have some pizza, I try to plan accordingly by really cutting back on my calories during the day, trying to kind of leave room for that. And it seems like all that stuff, it just packs on the water weight or whatever it is. And you wake up the next day and you're like, wow, I thought I left room for this, but the scale went the wrong way. And that's where you kind of go, okay, well, was it really worth it? Yeah, I saved $3 on a hot dog, but you know, now I've got another 2 days of workouts to do to get rid of this stuff.
Okay, but the one of the things I don't understand, David, you're David Jackson. You're the guy that's running this show and teaching other people how to lose weight. And I've heard you say in my headphones when I'm walking or running, I've heard you say processed foods full of salt, full of fat. You even love talking about high fructose corn syrup and all that stuff. So you know all this right. stuff. You know about it. So my question to you is, why in the hell did you devour 3 hot dogs at the ball game last night when you knew what it was going to do to you? What was going through your mind? I don't believe it was to save a couple bucks. There's no way I believe that.
No, it wasn't that. Part of it was, okay, I literally had watermelon I think I had a protein drink, and that was pretty much it, and a bunch of water to start the day. So I had tons of calories to leave room for. Then there is the stupid, and it is, it's a stupid excuse of, well, it's the 4th of July, and it's going to be a fun time with my wife, and, you know, I'm going to avoid the pizza, I'm going to avoid, you know, I don't drink, so there was no beer involved, you know, and in theory, this should be okay, because I'm leaving room in my calories for this, and it's only, I probably won't have another hot dog for another 3 years, because it's been about 3 years since I had one. So it was like, it's just this one time. And so now that I'm on the other side of that, I'm like, yeah, but it's not the one cookie that kills you. It's the one hot dog this week. And then who knows, in 2 weeks, it'll be, well, it was a special time. They were in from out of town. They wanted to have pizza. So yeah, I had two slices of pizza when I didn't leave room for the calories. That's when things really go haywire. And it seems like you can always find an excuse if you're looking for one. And especially if you're around people, I was at my mother-in-law's the one night, and they were making hamburgers. And they said, "How many do you want?" And I go, "Just one." And they're like, "Really?" And it's that kind of weird mentality of like, "Come on, it's I think we're there for Father's Day, and you gotta have at least two." And I'm like, "No, really, just so there's those people that aren't trying to be mean, but sometimes it's hard to say no." So yeah, and that's one of the things that has actually helped me. In the past couple of weeks, where I've actually kind of got back on the bandwagon, is I went back and looked at some of my iTunes reviews, and people said, "Look, dude, whatever politically correct way, it's time to, it's like you said, you're the host, you're supposed to be showing me the way." They had other ways of saying it, involving, getting off the pot, shall we say? And yeah, so you are absolutely correct. I need to find a way to be consistent. Like you said, it has to be a lifestyle. And while I thought I'd left enough calories to say, okay, I'm planning ahead, you know, here's the plan, and on paper this should work. But I know today when I stepped on the scale, I'm like, okay, that didn't work.
Now, what about your wife? Is she kind of on the same page as you? Does she have a weight problem, and does she eat, did she eat three hot dogs last night?
Yeah. Yeah, she did. Because they were, there was a limit of six. So, and she said, "Oh, those are small." And I'm like, okay, yeah. So she has a bit of a weight problem. And then the other problem is the last child that's at home is 17. He's a 17-year-old boy. And that kid could eat, a mountain of ice cream and not, his metabolism's through the roof because he's 17. He's growing like a weed. So he's another one that's always walking in with a pizza. And it's like, in cookies, and it's like, oh, guys, you guys do know I'm trying to watch my weight over here, right? So it's hard when it's right in your face. But and I've tried to get my wife on board, like, hey, let's and we're doing again. We're kind of getting back on track now that it's nice out here. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and so we've been walking around at parks and trying to do that. But she's not a big fan of going to the gym. She's not a big fan of treadmills inside. And I'm like, well, when you live in Ohio, you got to do treadmills on the inside. Otherwise, you're only going to have about 4 months out of the year to walk. And I have told her in the past, I'm like, I want you with me on this journey, but if you're not going to come with me, I can't wait for you because that's not going to work. So it is kind of, it's a struggle. I wish she was more with me on the journey. She is right now. In fact, she was another one. She's lost 5 pounds, and yet she's sitting at the ballpark eating three hot dogs. So it's the consistency, I think, that's the biggest hurdle. And it's just a matter of one of the things I did when I lost it the first time was I would literally plan out days of meals ahead of time. And I'm not doing that now, where I would go, okay, I'm going to start off with, whatever. Even if it's cereal, okay, lunch is going to be some sort of turkey sandwich, and then dinner will be a big salad or whatever it was. And I would know exactly what it was, and I could kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. So if I was hungry at lunch and I'd had my little salad, I'm like, yeah, but that's all right. If I can make it another hour, it's almost time for the big salad or whatever it is. And so I haven't been doing that as much as I should at this point. I am a little more, but that to me always seems to help, because that way if you are hungry at 3 o'clock and you're like, all right, well, I'm going to have whatever it is, you're ready for dinner at five, and then usually for me, I try to analyze, why am I hungry? And there are times when, well, I'm hungry, but there are other times when I'm bored or I'm stressed. So I try to analyze that as well, because there are times when I'm like, okay, why am I walking to the fridge now? And it's like, well, because I'm getting ready to, I don't know, write an article for a magazine, and I'm not sure what I'm going to write about. I'm kind of stressed out about it, you know, whatever. And I'm like, okay, I'm not hungry, I'm stressed. So there are a lot of little things that can trip you up, and you've got to realize, you got to be able to identify those and say, okay, I'm not really hungry, I'm just tired. Or I'm tired is another one. Getting enough sleep is, again, another thing. Right now I'm on the right path, I'm getting more sleep. When I'm not, it's those nights when I'm getting, you know, 4 or 5 hours of sleep a day, and you wake up the next day, and I always kind of joke and say, you know, the ability to care basically just gets busted, and you fall into, well, just this one day I'm going to, you know, drink gallons of Mountain Dew, or just today I'll have this or that, and I'll fix it tomorrow. And the problem is, if you have enough of those I'll fix it tomorrow's, you got a week full of I'll fix it tomorrow, and it takes 2 weeks to fix the 1 week of damage you've done.
Well, you just brought up the other question. One of the other questions I was going to ask you, you brought up the Mountain Dew thing. And I know from listening to your show, you admit to your listeners that you drink Mountain Dew. And you know it's bad for you, but you drink it. And you're trying to cut down on it. I realize that. But so my question, David, to you is, knowing how bad it is for you, and let me tell you something, and you know this, I'm saying it, but you know it as well as I do. There is nothing nutritious at all in Mountain Dew. Zero. I'm going to say zero. Nothing. So knowing that, why would you even drink one Mountain Dew a day? Why? What's the thought process there? You know it's not good for you.
Yeah, I was really thinking about this when ahead of time, and it's got to be a subconscious thing. When I was in my 20s, even my teenage years, I dated a girl who drank Mountain Dew like it was water. Now, I could point at her and say it's her fault, but obviously, the Mountain Dew is in my hand, so let's not go there. But I just started drinking it like she did. And so all of a sudden then, it's like Dave and Dew were like Batman and Robin, to the where literally people for my birthday would buy me a six-pack of Mountain Dew, because it was just this weird identity thing that Dave is the Dew guy. There's something in my head that says, I really like the taste. But I'm like, okay, but it's stupid. It is illogical. Especially when I've got, you know, water sitting right here. So I just need to, you know, for lack of a better phrase, get back on the wagon and realize that you can always find, you know, you think you're doing something right because you're making a better bad choice. But in the end, 7 ounces of Mountain Dew, yes, that's better than 40 or 60 in my worst days. I used to drink a six-pack a day, you know. 7 ounces is still 7 ounces too many. And so it's very easy to say, well, at least I'm not doing this. Well, my ex-wife literally had a friend who was a quote, and I'm not making this up, she was a quote crack whore. So my ex-wife, the alcoholic, would go, well, at least I'm not like her. And I'm like, well, of course, I hope not. So when you say, well, at least I didn't eat 2 Big Macs, well, okay, but the fact that you had the 4 nuggets isn't really still a good choice. It's a better bad choice. But it's not a good choice.
You definitely hit the nail right on the head when you said it's really all about eating. Now, of course, we both know, and our listeners know, that exercise is, you know, moving and exercise extremely important. But if you're only looking for pure weight loss, you could certainly do it just through an eating program. And I don't have a whole lot of like hard, fast rules for my listeners, but some things I do tell them is pretty much you have to lay off dessert. No dessert, unless it's fresh fruit or something like that. Stay away 100% from the cookies, the cakes, the pies, the candy bars, all that junk. And I also tell them, please never, ever drink soft drinks, whether they're regular soft drinks, diet drinks. Diet drinks are probably even worse, but never drink soft drinks. And if you just do those things, you're gonna most likely lose weight. So, David, I tell you, I'd like to challenge you to something. I'd love to help you with one thing. I'm gonna challenge you next time you're on one of your shows. I know when I do my shows, when I do my show, it's a singular right now, and I don't think it's going to become plural because one is plenty for me. But when I do my show, I have either, and sometimes both, a glass of really fresh cold spring water on my desk here, And I also generally have a cup of really nice chamomile tea. And chamomile tea is an herbal tea. It's very calming. It's very relaxing. There's absolutely no caffeine in it. I found it to be probably about the healthiest tea out there. And I'll drink one of those, or sometimes even both, during a show. So my challenge to you, David, next time you're doing a show, I'd like you to get rid of the Mountain Dew. Even tell your listeners, I'm not going to be drinking any Mountain Dew. I've got this wonderful glass of spring water in front of me, and I'm drinking some chamomile tea. And let's see how that goes, because I'm telling you something. I guarantee that if you, and you know this too, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but if you drop that Mountain Dew 100%, that would be a tremendous part of your battle right there. Right there. Just get rid of Mountain Dew. Take it out of your diet, out of your home, out of your life. Get rid of it.
Yeah, because when I look at my calories for the day, if I go over, it's really easy to go, if I hadn't drinking that Mountain Dew, I would have been under, and in some cases, way under. So, it's something I just have to do. And I've done it in the past, so the fact that I'm off the wagon, it's time to get back on. And also, it's like you said, spring water. I mean, I have a bottle here that I picked up what is this? Fruit 2O from Kraft. And it says it's purified water, but then when you get down, hexametaphosphate, this is water, potassium sorbate, and sodium benzoate. When I can't pronounce the ingredients of water, that's when I kind of go, yeah, I don't think that's really water. It's some sort of chemical in a clear container.
I'm not really familiar with that, but I think, again, I don't have to even tell you. You just said it yourself. When you're looking at those ingredients and it says some kind of water, but it's got all these other crazy additives and chemicals, I wouldn't touch this stuff, because I would just drink water. I mean, God put water on this planet for a reason, and it's the healthiest drink we can drink. It's just incredible, and it hydrates you. You know, when you're drinking Mountain Dew, you know that's dehydrating you with the caffeine. You know that. I have a feeling you're going to get rid of it. I have a really good feeling about that.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And I'll survive 2 days of headaches to be much better on the other side.
We're going to try it. You're going to report back to me and let me know how this Mountain Dew thing is going. Another thing, Dave, I know I might be in the minority with this, but it's just something I've told my listeners for a long time, because a lot of times listeners ask me about, well, how many calories are in this and how many calories are in that. I admit to them, I really do not count my calories, because I just, it seems like, and you know, I think I told you a little while ago, my wife and I have become vegan lately. And so it's like almost, I can eat anything I want, and I'm not a junk food vegan. Look, let's face it. A vegan could eat French fries and Mountain Dew all day long and say they're a vegan because they're not eating any animal products, but I'm not a junk food vegan. I'm eating really healthy plant-based whole foods. And I found that when you do that, you can pretty much just eat anything you want all day long, and it's healthy. And it's really rare to see an overweight vegan. It's just they're not out there, really. And I'm not here to convince you. And I even told my listeners, because when I first started the show 9 months ago, I was not a vegan. I've always been eating healthy, but I was eating meat. And I've talked to my listeners a lot about that. And I had a dilemma, because I love animals, and I hated to see animals, slaughtered. But it was a dilemma, because I thought we needed meat. But I've done so much research lately about this, and I just it's an incredible lifestyle when you don't have to eat any animal products, because like I said, I don't even have to, I still weigh myself every day, as I think you do, but I don't feel I have to, because I just don't gain weight. It's unbelievable.
Well, that is amazing. If you, when I switch out, insert bad food here with, right now my fridge has a giant bag of grapes, a big giant bowl of strawberries, bananas. When you swap out fruits and veggies for, Snicker bars and whatever else, the chips that are in the vending machines, it's amazing, A, how much, you're just as full, if not fuller, than, Snickers really satisfies the vending machine man. That's about it. that you're not hungry, and you've got calories way left to if you're counting them, to do that. And the reason I count is if you don't, for me at least, if I don't pay attention, I can have one more thing enough to where I'll just go crazy and I look up and wait, how did I have 2,800 calories? Well, you you know, I had the watermelon, and then I did this, and then I did that, and then, oh, okay, and then I had the turkey sandwich, and now you look up and you're like, wow, those are all healthy things. It's like you said, you can still eat too much healthy stuff. So for me, I just like to do that, and I'm a bit of a stat junkie, so I like to see that, and that way I can kind of tell, okay, based on this, if I do this and exercise this much, you know, the scale will go down. It's just a matter of hitting that goal. As for weighing myself, I always tell people, because I know a lot of books say you shouldn't, I just say know that your weight is going to probably fluctuate a little bit, and don't, you know, rejoice in the good days and get off the ledge on a bad day, because you just go back to doing what's, and especially if you did the right things and the scale didn't follow suit, you know, if that's really going to throw you, then don't weigh yourself every day. I do, but I just know that, you know, my weight's going to go up and down a little bit, and that's perfectly normal, and I use the days when the weight goes up as a way to go, okay, well, I did everything right yesterday, and the scale didn't work, so I'm going to work extra hard. Maybe I'm going to walk an extra mile or another 1,000 steps or whatever it is. I use that to motivate me.
I'm actually totally with you on the weighing every, because I, as I said, I don't think I need to these days, but I still do, because like I've told my listeners many times in the past, you know, if you're driving your car and you're not looking at the gas, if you didn't have a gas gauge, you would have no idea how much gas was in the car. If you didn't have a thermometer, you wouldn't know the temperature of your car, even the temperature outside. The scale is simply an instrument that tells you how you're doing with your program. So I think it's actually really, really important. So I would never fault anybody. And I also recommend to my listeners, hey, weigh yourself every day. Do it at the same time every single day. I weigh myself in the morning every single day, because it's really the only one of the, I shouldn't say the only, but it's one of the only gauges you really have to know to chart your progress and know exactly what you're doing or how you're doing.
Yep. I agree with you 100%. It's the first thing. I grab my phone, start updating podcasts, and as I'm walking down the hall to the bathroom, that's the first thing I do when I get there. David, well, technically second.
David, before we finish the show today, I want to ask two quick questions of you. I know you're kind of a tech geeky, and that's not meant in a bad way either, but you love all these little tech things. So as far as health and working out, I'd like to know what your favorite little tech gadget is as far as that goes. And lastly, I'd like to know what's one bit of advice that you give your listeners, which you think is perhaps like the most important bit of advice out there for weight loss.
My favorite gadget, because I've tried them all. I've tried the Body Bug and, you know, this and that. I love my Fitbit. It fits in my pocket, and I can easily check at any time and see how many steps I've got and do I need to ramp it up. And really getting, I know you love getting 4 miles a day. For me, it's 10,000 steps, which is actually 5 miles, I think, if I were to map it out. And for me, if I walk on my lunch and maybe walk on one of my breaks from work, I can hit that goal super easy, and it's just a way to let me look up and see, okay, yeah, I'm on target. I need to do that. Or, you know, there are times when it's, you know, 9 o'clock at night, and I'm like, whoa, I'm way behind, and I'll go out and do laps around the church next door to my house just to get caught up. So I love that. It's simple. It's easy, and it uploads automatically to their website. Their website's free. You don't have to pay for additional months or things like that. So I love my Fitbit. And in terms of advice, I would say if I had to pick one, probably just the fact, just because it didn't work for you in the past, you know, I could say, well, you know, I'm doing the same, some of the same things I did in the past when I was 30 and it's not working now. Maybe I just can't lose weight. No, that's so the wrong way to think about that. But like you said, if you can find one thing, I guess that would be my advice. Find one thing to improve in your lifestyle. We try so hard to go, okay, this is where I need to be. I need to go, you know, I'm at zero. I need to go to 60. And we try to go right to 60. And then it's a bit of a challenge. And we say, see, I told you I couldn't do it. And we go back to feeling sorry for ourselves and medicating ourselves with food. So in my case, Dave's like, look, just drop the Mountain Dew. Let's do that one. Drop the Mountain Dew. Great. All right. Now, when I get that down and that becomes part of my lifestyle, let's find one more thing. And maybe it's, okay, let's get the 4 miles in. Okay, good. Now I'm not drinking Mountain Dew and I'm getting my 4 miles in. Okay, what else can we do? All right, let's replace the burgers with a chicken breast and some veggies. You know, so instead of trying to just, you know, we're kind of live in a microwave society and we want everything now. We want it yesterday. And, you know, it took me years to get overweight. I'm not going to lose it in 2 months. So you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I say that on my show. And just try to find one thing that you can do to better your lifestyle and do that and make that a habit and then move on to the next one.
David, this has been fantastic. I appreciate your time. And I'm going to put this up in the show notes. So if you could just tell my listeners, if they like to listen to your show, which I'm sure they would like to know more about, how can they find your show?
Sure. It's called the Logical Weight Loss Podcast. You can find it at logicalloss.com.
Fantastic. We'll have that up in
and
the show.
You can hear the rest of my journey.
And I have a feeling we will all be listening, especially to find out if you've dropped the Mountain Dew or not. So, David, thank you so much for your time. It was, an honor and a pleasure to have you. I'd like to invite you to come back for a future show. And we'll keep you and I will both keep helping audiences and people all over the world just live the best lives they can, be in the best shape they can, and lose weight and feel great about themselves. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And I look forward to giving you a good report.
Hey, so I just want to thank David Jackson so much for being on the show today. And just a little bit of a recap, because I think I learned a lot from talking to David. And I think my listeners, you all probably have learned a lot also. And one of the things I just wanted to kind of reinforce that, you know, you can talk about weight loss all day and all night, but it's not all about weight loss. And to lose weight, it's not just about eating less food and moving around more. But, you know, you've got to have an overall life that you're really enjoying. Because if, believe me, like I said earlier in the show, if you've got all kind of issues and you're not happy with relationships and jobs, your weight loss is going to be erratic, most likely. You're going to be sick. You're going to be stressed. So you really have to have a really good foundation first. That is absolutely crucial. But a couple things that we talked about, and I want to touch on the Mountain Dew in a couple seconds, but, I know David, and believe David helps a lot of people out there. He's got a lot of listeners to this Logical Weight Loss podcast. One thing that we definitely have a little bit of a different philosophy is like I said, I'm not a calorie counter. And it kind of came across to me in the show with David as he counts calories during the day. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it almost sounds like as he's counting, he's saying to himself, okay, well, I've got room now for, you know, I'm only at 1500 or 1700 calories. So I've got room for, 800 more calories, sometime during the day. And then I think the tendency there is to start to fill those calories up with maybe, what we call empty calorie junk food. And it almost gives you like a pass to do that. And my philosophy is not really to count the calories, but my philosophy is to eat healthy foods all day long. I mean, I don't eat hot dogs. I don't drink Mountain Dew. If you're eating, as I said to David, if you're eating healthy foods, whole foods, non-processed foods all day long, you pretty much eat till you're full. You eat six small meals during the day, like I've said on the show quite a bit. You drink water, you drink tea. And if you do all that, and if you're eliminating, you know, the junk out there, especially the desserts and the processed stuff, then you're not going to gain weight. I mean, it's pretty simple. That's the way it is. So, that's where, you know, I've never been a calorie counter, and people ask me how many calories should you have per day. I don't even know the answer to that, because I eat healthy foods until I'm full. And that's the way it is. And especially now on the vegan diet, I mean, the vegan lifestyle, I've lost some pounds when I first got onto that. So it's kind of effortless. But, as far as the Mountain Dew, and I gave David a little bit of a challenge, and I really hope he takes me up on this. I think he can do this. David, you're probably listening to this right now. And again, I think this is a great show, David. I think we helped a lot of people. But I am concerned about your Mountain Dew consumption. I really am, because even one glass or one bottle or one can, whatever, I don't even know what kind of containers it comes in these days. I haven't had a soda in so darn long. But even one serving of Mountain Dew per day is one serving too much, David. So I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you stop it. I will guarantee if you stop Mountain Dew. And David, I also liked what you said about kind of taking like one baby step at a time. I had an episode called Baby Steps, 10 Baby Steps. And so you're really right on the money there. If you stop the Mountain Dew, that'll be maybe your first step. And then the next step would be to totally cut out any kind of processed junk or fried stuff, anything like that. But so my challenge to you, David Jackson, is let's see, it is it's mid-July right now. It's early to mid-July right now. Let's give this until the end of August. And let's get you back, and we'll communicate between now and then. But at the end of August, I want to get you back on the show, and let's see if you're able to successfully complete the Mountain Dew Challenge, which means absolutely no Mountain Dews between now and then. Absolutely none. When you're craving something, just some nice spring water it's so refreshing and so clean and clear. And that's again, like I said to you on the show, it's kind of like it's God's drink. That's what he gave to us to enjoy and to hydrate our bodies. So that's what I'd like you to drink, fresh spring water or maybe even some chamomile tea. And let's see how you do. Let's get you back on end of August. David, you have got the Mountain Dew Challenge right now. I hope you're up to it. It's going to take a strong man, but I know you can do it. Listen, I think this puts another episode of Slays Your Age in the record books. This is Dr. David Matto. I cannot wait to see you next time, and I promise next time we're going to get to your questions and answer them. So anything you want to know or always want to know or have wanted to know, give us a call at 410-429-7190. That's the Slice Your Age hotline. Or simply go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/sliceyourage. Ask the questions there. We will answer them on the next episode. Until then, I will see you later.
Thank you for listening to Slice Your Age. You are no longer alone on this journey.
Slice your age.